hey, person, I need you after this flight, because I know your students here, you have a 30-minute break or an hour break, whatever it is. I need you to go home, change immediately, and come back to work.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very valid thing.
That's a reasonable ask. Like, go finish your flight, then you have this time, go do it.
I found out later on, because I, of course, checked the cameras to see what he was wearing on his next flight, and he never went home to go change.
That's just disrespectful.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com. And let us be your co-pilot on this adventure. Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, we're going to be talking about something that is vital for anyone who's in general aviation, but especially people like, not Carson.
Not me.
People like me. Who is that, Carson?
Commercial pilot license, CFI, MEI, CFII.
We're talking about flight instructors, guys. What Carson is not.
No, not a flight instructor, unfortunately.
And
Brand's all type rated and
all the things.
Oh man, everything.
So besides, not everything, we need to have some people on here that have everything.
Oh,
you know, it'd be cool to have on here the kings. They literally have everything.
Yeah.
They do. I don't. But not just about flight instructors. We're going to be talking about professionalism for flight instructors and in general aviation, or in aviation in general. I like what I did with
that. Was a good one.
That was good.
I was getting on the quote list.
Can't wait.
Yeah, well, I thought it'd be a good topic for you to talk about, especially because you've dealt with plenty of flight instructors, both as a student and owner of a flight school. So you're the boss. And I think you've also been chief flight instructor for 141.
I have.
Right. So you know all about professionalism and the standards. So I wanted you to talk about it.
What am I going to talk about, Carson?
What are you going to talk about? Well, let's kick things off with appearance and presentation.
Appearance and presentation.
Yeah, huh? It's pretty simple, but it's important. You know, how you look, how you present yourself, how you hold yourself. I mean, think about who would you rather get in an airplane with? Someone that's all disheveled and looks like they rolled out of bed and got to the airport, or someone that looks nice, clean, professional, and at least in a good polo?
I've fired some instructors, by the way, for literally showing up to the office in pajamas.
Pajamas?
Pajamas. You know how kids nowadays, they show up and they go to school in pajamas?
And like a t-shirt or a crop top.
It doesn't matter, boy or girl, they wear these pajamas to school. Mm-hmm. And I've told Austin, he now like tells his friends, like a little jerk sometimes actually. And I was like, Austin, you can't wear pajamas like out of the house. Like you need to shower before you leave. He's going to thank me for all of these things I make him do every day.
It's so funny you say that. I would just thank my dad for that. I think 2 days ago we had a talk and I was like, hey, remember how you always said, you know, get ready for your day and before you go downstairs, take a shower, do your hair, get dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just talking about how the days I throw on flip-flops and, you know, I'm just laying around all day and trying to work on the couch, get nothing done.
Nothing.
I'm at my desk. I have, you know, closed-toed shoes on because I can't just kick them off as mm-hmm. easy. Jeans or shorts and a t-shirt and I'm locked in. I'm focused.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's the same thing when you're flying a plane.
It is the same thing when you're flying a plane, even though I wore flip flop for a long time.
Flip flop flyer. Flip-flops, yeah.
Yeah. There's a whole thing to that, why we shouldn't wear flip flops and why we should. But I digress. So being professional as a flight instructor is really important. Like I was saying, I had this guy. I found out he was wearing pajamas to work one day. And I brought him to my office and I had a very stern talk. I was like, is this how we dress? I think you signed a contract with my company that says your dress code. And the dress code is not very crazy, by the way. It's either khaki shorts or khaki pants or jeans. And closed-toe shoes. And either a next-gen, if it was next-gen, so either a next-gen polo or a...
So plain black or plain white.
Or a next-gen t-shirt that was also available. And then I would also allow them to wear aviation-themed t-shirts. I mean, it gets hot in Southern California, so yeah. I would allow all of those things.
That was the whole dress code.
That was the entire dress code.
That was the whole
thing. And there was actually a section on there for me to not have to wear flip-flops. I said, well, I pay everybody. I'm going to be the exception of the rule. And maybe you may look at me and be like, well, that's not what a leader does, Brandon. I'm like, I understand that. That's probably not what a leader does. But I had a distaste for shoes so badly. And the insurance company couldn't penalize me for not wearing shoes. But the insurance company could penalize if somebody else wasn't wasn't wearing shoes.
Are you wearing shoes right now?
I am not wearing shoes right now. But that is strictly because it is 92 degrees in Southern California today at the beach.
We're both wearing flip-flops.
We're wearing flip-flops today.
Yeah, it's comfy.
But it's a little too hot. It's a little too hot. So with all that being said, I brought him into the office and I said, don't do this ever again. Well, guess what? Brandon never shows up on the weekends. So he was thinking, well, I don't think, and Brandon only doesn't show up on the weekends during hours that he knows that I show up. I would show up on the weekends, like almost every weekend on a Friday night or Saturday night or whatever it is. And I had cameras in there if I needed to access them, not that I did very often.
Yeah, you had like cameras on the doorways and like the register.
It was mostly in case people broke in and stuff. Yeah. But I mean, if I needed to check them, I could. Outside of all that, I show up there on a Saturday in the middle of the day.
Oh, I can't imagine looking at Steve's
face. I think I was going to fly the Baron or something. And I see this guy, his name, I can't say his name, but it started with an M and it's not the one you're thinking of. It might be the one you're thinking of, but it started with an M. It's not somebody who was friends with Carson. So I show up and I just look at him in the eyes and he could see the distaste in my face. And his student was outside and I told him, hey, come over here. Come talk to me in my office on a Saturday. And I told Austin, get out of my office. I shut my blinds. And I was like, hey, person, I need you after this flight, because I know your student's here. You have a 30-minute break or an hour break, whatever it is. I need you to go home, change immediately, and come back to work.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very valid thing.
That's a reasonable ask. Like, go finish your flight, then you have this time, go do it.
Go get this done.
Yeah.
And I found out later on, because I, of course, checked the cameras to see what he was wearing on his next flight. And he never went home to go change.
That's just disrespectful.
It was totally disrespectful. And he was like, it's going to cost money and gas and stuff to go there. I was like, you shouldn't have screwed up the first place. You had a warning before. Then you screwed up in general. And now this third one, you blatantly went against our policies of not acting professional. And I gave him a final warning on that one. And I said, if this happens, you are 100% fired. And I should have fired him on that day. But I didn't. A month later, the guy was doing idiot things in my Aero, and he was basically not having three-way or two-way communication with the other, with his student in my Aero and gear up my Aero. And I should have let him go prior to that. So it would have saved me, I don't know, probably $100,000 in insurance costs going up and all sorts of things. So there was a lot of problems, obviously, with that day and or with that person. And I don't know what he's doing today, but I'm assuming he's probably not flying very much. And if he is, he's not flying for a professional company. I would 0% ever hire him.
Yeah.
I hope he does not put my name on any resumes. And if he's listening to this, you know who you are. Don't put my name on your resume. I'm a pretty nice guy, but when you blatantly go against me and then you crash my airplane and a few other things, it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. For Brandon to say that, that takes a lot too.
Yeah.
I mean,
we repaired the airplane. It wasn't bad. No one was hurt. There were no issues with that, but he definitely ruined a good airplane with a pretty new engine in it, all these things. So the only good thing about it, I got a new paint job out of it. That was all right. Probably needed one.
Yeah. So. I guess long story long, if you want a new paint job and you want a flight school, or make sure you hire people wear pajamas.
Yeah, exactly. So appearance and presentation, it's really a big deal, obviously. And that's why I come across on that. And you just need to be put together. You got to look the part. These students are walking in to this flight school thinking and knowing that you are an expert in what you do. And they also know something else, Carson, that you are the only person that can keep them safe in the air because they don't know how to fly an airplane. Mm-mm. They don't know how to land an airplane. Trusting your life their life in your hands.
Well, the thing is, you're conveying that trust just by the way you present yourself, especially demo flights first time. And these are people that maybe already are afraid to go in an airplane. So
most
you're showing
of them
up
are
in,
afraid.
Yeah, most of them. And you're showing up in gym shorts and a t-shirt. That's not going to convey that same trust as someone that looks nice in jeans and a polo, at least.
Yeah, I did have somebody showed up in gym shorts one time, too.
Yeah.
And I'll say who that one was. That's our friend Matt. But he showed up in gym shorts. And
his reasoning made a lot of sense. You know, he was outside cleaning airplanes and like that was his thing. Like,
exactly. I mean, this was prior to him being a CFI, by the way. And I told him, you can wear those today. Never wear those back ever again.
And he listened.
And he did.
Wow, look at that.
And he is one of the most professional, amazing pilots that I know of.
Yeah.
He's a great pilot.
So. He is exactly what you think of when you think of a good airline pilot. Like, as professional.
Professional.
Great manners.
Yeah.
Great speaker. Yeah.
Yes, sir. No, ma'am. Oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am. All the things he does perfectly. So good on you, Matt. He just did that one thing that one time. But he wasn't even a flight instructor. He cleaned airplanes, and that's how he kind of got started. So by the way, if you are kind of a newbie pilot and you want to learn to meet a lot of other people, Matt did it right. He started out working at the airport, doing things like cleaning airplanes and working at the front desk and stuff like that. That allows you to meet a lot of great people.
Yeah.
Who are in aviation. So make sure you do all of that stuff.
Where's a better place to find people in aviation besides our podcast or an airport?
Exactly. Exactly.
I got another question. How do you feel about tattoos and professionalism? I know it's kind of touchy and I know we're both biased.
Yeah. I have tattoos. No one probably, I don't know, maybe you've seen them if I raise my arm up or something, but I don't have them exposed. Like if you look at my arm right now, if you're watching the video, no one can tell anything because they're above and they're below my shoulder. I only have like quarter sleeves on both sides. And I did them up there on purpose, by the way, so no one sees them. I want to make sure that I look professional to people who don't respect people that have tattoos. I think nowadays, like the entire industry and really the world has changed their perspective on them. I know a lot of really, really rich guys and they've got full sleeve tattoos. But I don't know any really, really rich guys that have face tattoos unless they are musicians. So I will tell you that.
I think now when you see tattoos, you just think, if they're well done ones, especially in normal, appropriate places, you think that person's got some cash because tattoos are expensive.
They're expensive, yeah. But to the point, I still think that there's still a bias out there. So as an employer of somebody out of flight school, I required either long sleeves or I needed you to not have tattoos visible. And I kind of became more laxed on that over the years. That was my original policy. Then I would allow tattoos, but they had to be non-offensive. And I don't care if you thought they were non-offensive. If I thought they were offensive to anybody, then it was a no-go and you got to cover them up. Even if it was like an aviation related, like pinup girl or something like that, I didn't want that. That could offend some people. I mean, if somebody has their kids with them or something and they see that, that just might not jive well with them. So I didn't allow that to happen. With that being said, if you had other tattoos that were not offensive, even if it was like a little skull or something, I would allow those types of things. But if you start having on your face or your neck, that wasn't going to happen. So long story long, Carson, as I love to say, long story long, I don't mind tattoos as long as they're not offensive. And I really don't want them to be offensive to literally anybody. I don't care if it's a kid, an older person, anybody. So if they're stars and sunshine, rainbows and horses and pictures of airplanes or whatever it is, like it's not offensive. It's just, it's something that's representative in your life or your kid's face or whatever it may be. Sure, have the tattoos, but just make sure that they're in appropriate places. I mean, if you got this big giant neck tattoo or something like looking like
Post Malone,
there we go, Posty. If you look like Posty, I'm sorry, I'm not hiring you. Even though Posty's a great guy.
Unless you make Posty money, then we can
talk about investments. And I don't care. Yeah. Or if you are Posty and you're listening for some crazy reason, comment below.
Please and thank you.
That would be amazing. Can you imagine Post Malone?
I cannot imagine.
Mark, please tag Post Malone in this.
Yeah.
Let him know exactly at what moment we mention his name and hopefully he'll comment below.
Actually, there's someone else I'd like to tag. Brandon and I were talking about getting the business jet guy on the podcast and how cool that would be. He said he doesn't think we have enough clout for it, but I bet if enough people mention him, he'd probably be willing to talk.
I guess that is true. Yeah. I really want the business jet guy. I mean,
that'd be crazy.
He's a rock star.
Yeah. He rocks social media. He did a good job with it.
Speaking of professionalism with the business jet guy. Have you seen the way he dresses?
Yeah, suit.
To the tens.
Yeah,
he wears Armani suits. I don't know if they're really Armani, but really high-end suits. They are great looking, and they're perfectly fitted, all the things. So he exudes professionalism in aviation. Now he's selling jets from $5 to $300 million, right, for clients and corporations.
Yeah, he probably should be dressing a little nicer.
He should be dressing a little nicer.
Yeah, he's selling a service.
He's selling a great service, so... I digress from all of that. Tattoos, I'm more open to them, but airlines are less open to them.
They are much less open.
There are a few airlines, and I don't know which ones off the top of my head, but there are a few airlines that are allowing tattoos to be visible nowadays.
Because they're hurting for pilots?
Probably because they're hurting for pilots. So
they said, we can't turn this guy away just because he has a tattoo.
Just because they've got tattoos, yeah.
I think as the younger generation, too, becomes older and gets in these jobs that are now hiring, they're also less likely to bias against them.
I would fully agree. Absolutely. You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's up, Brandon.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show. Well, let's talk about something the FAA takes pretty seriously, Carson. You know what that is?
Yep, having good moral character. That's a pretty important one.
It is. It's something I have, and do you?
I like to think so, unless it comes to you.
That is true. That is true. Carson's got pretty good moral character. I mean, he went to BYU. They don't allow people in there without good moral character.
Yeah, you have to be pretty decent. And the FAA doesn't allow you to, I think, get your ATP.
That is correct. It says
a requirement.
Good moral character. The DPE has to sign that off for you, by the way. Yeah,
I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's probably why I don't have my ATP yet, huh, Carson?
Probably, yeah. That's I knew something was holding you back.
You know, I need to make that a priority, by the way, getting my ATP.
Yeah, you need to calendar it.
I do need to calendar it. You're right. Actually, I need to calendar time to study for my written.
Oh, you never do that. You always cram the day before and get a 75.
If I can get a 75, maybe a 71. I'll take a 70, guys. I'll take a 70. But yeah, so the FAA requires good moral character. It has standards for CFIs, other pilots when it comes to ethical behavior. You have to have no criminal history or falsified documents. That could be the end of your career, obviously.
The DP actually, you know, takes a look at any charges that you do have, because that's something you have to declare during your medical. Right?
I do know that. Yes, you do have to declare. I mean, and the biggest one that people don't declare or try to get around is if they have a DUI.
That's crazy. The FAA will find out. They find out everything.
They will find out about a DUI.
And they will not be happy when they find it out after the fact.
You will lose all of your certificates that you have spent money on. Yeah. They will revoke all of them, by the way.
Yeah. If they find out you have one later, or if you get one after you're a pilot, right?
No, if you get one after you're a pilot.
They look into it.
They look into it. There's a whole process involved. And actually, we should do an episode on that.
That would be really interesting.
On some kind of disqualifying medical events and criminal events that can happen post. I do know some people who have had DUIs after. Not me, luckily, and not Carson. I like using Uber and Lyft. Actually, they love me too because of how much money I spend with them.
I've been your Uber before.
Yeah, Carson's been my... By the way, here's a sidebar story. When I first met Carson, I bought this cheap limo that I got on sale.
Oh, it was like $5,000 or something?
It was
ridiculously
low. It was maybe $3,500 and it didn't have great paint, but the interior was really nice and had like 250,000 miles on it.
It did the job for it being not necessarily a joke, but kind of a joke. I mean, it was pretty funny that you went and did it. And he just did it so he can go around with his friends.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was cool. I was like, oh, can we go around with my business friends and like go do some fun, cool stuff?
He's like, who's going to drive it though?
Yeah. So we didn't know who would drive it. When Carson first got started at NextGen, I said, hey, Carson, do you want to make some extra money? Do you want to go drive the limo?
And that's how I knew we'd become friends, because I said yes.
You said yes.
I was like, yeah, of course.
What? And he was like 18 years old. And I'm like, I don't know if insurance covers you, but let's try this.
Yeah, anyways. Let's give it a shot.
He could drive the limo, though. And it was 121 stretch. It was a pretty big one.
Yeah. Never had any issues.
No issues. Didn't crash into anything.
Nope. Not that I told you about.
Not that I know of.
No, that's pretty funny. Now when Brandon and I get Ubers together and he's driving the driver crazy, getting like a 1-star rating, I'm like, hey, I'm really sorry. I used to be his limo driver. I get it.
By the way, I have a very high Uber and Lyft rating.
I have a perfect rating.
Well, I have been a user of them since they were only in Northern California.
Oh, okay. That counts. I'll give it to you then.
Yeah. I have like 4.98 with Lyft or Uber, and then I've got a 5 with the other one. I can't remember. And I've done a lot of rides. All right. Back to this, because Dave Granvo was listening the other day, and he said that we go on tangents sometimes and wondering how we're going to get back to our original thing. And the answer is, eventually we do.
Most of the time we get back.
Yeah.
We're pretty good.
By the way, Dave. Hi, Dave. Thanks for listening. Hi, Dave. I know you're only listening because you go to the gym, and we're now in your gym playlist. So thank you.
Gym playlist?
Run faster, Dave.
Yeah, fast. Lift more.
Lift more. Run faster. Right now, I want you to increase by 20%. Go for it. And if you're listening to this at the gym, you should do the same thing.
Hey, if you're not at the gym, you should go to the gym.
Exactly. I mean, I went yesterday.
Yeah. Good job.
Thank you. I'm going to go again tonight, or probably not tonight. I'm going to go tomorrow.
Yeah. So Brandon and I were going over his routine, and Brandon has a routine. He travels every weekend.
I travel everywhere.
Yeah, he's traveling all the time. That's his routine.
Back to Dave's point, we need to get back on topic here. So the FAA expects pilots to uphold integrity. And as a flight instructor, you're not just teaching flying skills, you're teaching judgment. We have to show our students how to be honest, from everything from filling out logbooks to following the FARs. And it's not just about following the rules. It's about, you really have to be a true role model, because if you ever have to make it like a tough kind of ethical decision, and you have to show your students what good moral character really means, Carson.
Yeah. Good moral character, I think, especially in aviation, can be a lot of things. One of the things that comes to mind and comes to the FAA's mind too is like couch pilots. What do they call it?
When you just people that are not super current.
Oh, that too. But people that just write in hours in their logbook.
Oh, pencil whipping.
Pencil whipping?
That's what, I don't know. That's what
people call it. That's a pretty good one. Yeah, but people that just write logbook hours, you know, they can just fake a whole logbook.
Or they will fake like an additional 0.2 or 0.1. It's not necessarily people just put like random fake flights in there. But I have seen people be like, we were really about 0.2 or 0.5 longer because that's what the FAA required and we didn't quite get there. Or they'll put like a different airport they landed at. I've seen that happen before to make sure that they hit 50 nautical miles.
Like, I saw a story about this guy that said he had hours in this plane. And it was the DP's plane. So when he was checking his logbook, he was like, oh, tell me about this flight.
No way.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. That was a crazy one.
You saw a video on that?
Yeah.
Oh,
not like it was like a video. It was some dude telling the story about it.
Oh, I want to hear that story.
Oh, man, I would kill to be in that room.
Oh, me too.
Could you imagine?
I'd be like, you just lost all of your ratings.
Yeah, you goodbye. Just lost everything. Yeah, I was reading about that, and I was just like, that terrifies me. Yeah, being able to lose your ratings because of lying. Again, it's just a good reason not to do it, and it's a good reason for FAA to take away your license.
Absolutely. Let them take it away if you're falsifying hours like that. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. So it's not just aeronautical decision-making. It's everyday decision-making. Everything you do can affect your pilot license. It's something you got to think about.
Yeah. I mean, those aren't just kind of the little ethical decisions that people make. I mean, they also have to make bigger decisions, like whether or not to fly today.
Yeah.
Also, you may have a check ride and you've been waiting 2 months to get that check ride because there's DPE shortage and the weather is marginal VFR and you think you're good. And is it better to go do that flight today or better to wait for another month or whatever it may be?
It's better to wait. Always better to wait.
Sometimes you have to make that decision. If you're a private pilot, probably better to wait. If you're going on your CFI or CFII, probably better to go on the flight.
Yeah, it might actually say a lot about you. If you go on a flight and you're able to handle it well. And
yeah, exactly.
I mean, that can make your 8-hour check ride into a 4-hour one.
I don't think so.
Yeah, if you do it right.
I don't know. My check ride was like 10 hours for my CFI.
Well, I heard if the DP likes you, they make it a shorter check ride. So.
I thought Mark liked me. Maybe not. I guess
you guys are as good friends as you thought.
Hey.
we'd have Mark on the check ride. That'd be great to talk to him about check rides.
It would be. Well, that kind of wraps up our conversation today on professionalism in general aviation, mostly for CFIs. That's all we really touched on today. It's clear that professionalism goes far beyond just flying skills and just the way you dress, for example. Set how you approach safety and kind of ethics as well.
Yeah, you're not just an instructor, you're the role model for the next generation of pilots, right? So the way you do things is the way your students going to see it. And they're just going to copy you, right? It's like having a kid. They don't know what they're doing, right? They get in that airplane and they don't know what's going on. So they're watching you and seeing how you do everything.
Exactly.
So you're just doing a quick check of the airplane before you go fly. Student's likely going to do the same thing.
Yeah. And that's going to be very poor skills. And it's going to actually get somebody hurt or worse, killed at the end of the road, some point in their career. Or they're going to teach that to somebody else who fails to do that. And
don't put that on your conscience.
No, I mean, it's going to continuously create a pattern of, I can't think of the word right now, but it's going to create a pattern with your students, and it's not going to be great. By the way, on our script, it says, I'm supposed to tell Carson he couldn't have said it better myself, but I'm not going to do that. Dang. I could have said it better.
Oh, thanks, Brandon. I could have said it better too.
I'm just kidding. He did great. And yeah, he's very correct in a lot of those things. So everyone, thanks so much for listening to the Aviation Mentors podcast today. As always, if you have thoughts or stories about professionalism in aviation, reach out to us or put in the comments right below.
Especially crazy stories. I like hearing those.
Yeah, I really love crazy stories. So
yeah. Well, I got one more question for you guys that I would love to hear an answer on. What's your take on the FAA's emphasis on a good moral character? And how do you think that you can model that in your day-to-day flying? So anything else that we didn't say, let us know in the comments below.
Yeah. And what's your approach to giving constructive feedback to students if you're a flight instructor? And do you have any tips for handling any difficult conversations you've had with students? I know I've had a lot of difficult conversations with students, especially ones that just probably aren't going to be able to grasp the concept of flight. I really think it's possible for about 99% of people. It's just whether or not if they want to put in 200 hours to grasp that concept or if they want to put in the time. And then there's some people that just get it. So it really depends on at what length you're willing to go at and get your ratings and have those difficult conversations. So let us know if you've had any difficult conversations with any students and how it went. Well, if you would like to reach out to either one of us, you can reach us on our emails. It's Brandon@aviationmentors.com, or for Carson, it's Carson@aviationmentors.com. And of course, if you want to talk to the one and only, the mysterious Mark, our producer, you can reach him at producer@aviationmentors.com. Also, don't forget to hit like, subscribe, follow, share, all the things that make all the things work on every streaming social media platform you're listening to us on. We really appreciate it. It's a huge part of helping us grow the podcast and, of course, helping us grow the aviation community, making it a little bit more professional every time.
Just a little bit. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you, Carson.
Of course. Now, as a wrap up for the day, remember, we're here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
I see you guys.